Well, good evening. Hey, good to see y'all this evening, those of us that are online and those of us that are here. If you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing "You Are My All in All." My strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
Worthy.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. And Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares to you.
Praise the Lord. Compose so rich.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. All o'er those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in his bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Amen. Anybody got a pick in this evening? 786. Hey, that's really close. All right. Count your blessings, 786. When upon life's billows you are tempted, tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Amen. Got another one? 185. All right. Oh, I turned right to it. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me on my way. He's prepared a home for me, and someday his face I'll see. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. Anybody got another one? Going once, going twice? Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord.
Jeremiah's got them with lasers on it, so it's amen. All right, well, I'm glad you're here with your spinners, my man. All right, don't hypnotize me with that now.
No, no, don't do
I'm
that.
I'm gonna fall over and hypnotize me, man. Go, huh? Oh, not home. All right. Check two, check
three. Got me now. Okay. All right, what are the praises tonight? Praises, testimonies, encouraging words, verses. All right, Miss Luffy's got one. All right.
Well, I'll be the first to thank the Lord for the rain. We got rain over at my house. I don't know if y'all got it at your house.
Today?
This past week, we've got it two different times.
Yeah, we did too. We got two different times.
It was really good.
It was refreshing and rich.
Yes, helped my garden and everything
else.
Praise
the Lord for the rain. I'm going to have to do a little water tonight, though. I got some potted plants. They're like, give me some water.
Uh-huh. And then the other thing is that, you remember we were praying for the Adam Kosky family.
Yes.
Well, it's such a blessing. As the Lord would have it, that the news there in New York, brought Hannah on and did a big interview with her about her husband and about what happened. And then, you know, Hannah was able just to lift up the Lord and just, you know,
Amen. It
just was a blessing. So God works in everything.
Yeah, amen.
So I'm thankful for that.
He prays for her husband's life. And this was on the news station. Wow. On the news. What news station was it? Do you know? What where do they live?
In Mayfield, New York. So,
I'll Google that. Mayfield, New York.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. All right. All right, all right. What else, what else? Other praises, testimonies, encouraging words, verses. Anybody, anybody? Amen for air conditioning. Well, what did we ever do without it? We just sweated a bunch. Took about 3 showers a day. Tried to sleep outside all you could. And the mosquitoes get you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, praise the Lord. My mom's doing better.
Jeanette's doing good.
Yeah, she's doing good. Man.
Doing well. How many of you remember the heat wave of 1980? I was on the football field. I remember it well. I thought we were going to all die. All right, amen. It's amazing to see all these records from 1980 that this heat wave is just getting up, right, touching, but won't go over. That heat wave in 1980 was awful, man.
Oh, yeah, they had people dropping off buildings, heat strokes.
Oh, gosh, it was awful.
Yeah, it was bad.
I can't believe they put us in full pads and helmets and had us playing football.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. You'd get sued. They'd sue you today for that. They'd call that abuse. All right. Jeanette's doing well. Other praises, testimonies, encouraging words, or verses. Anybody? Is that it? Going once, going twice? Anybody online? Online, folks? You got a praise back there? Okay. All right. Very good. All right. So we'll move on to prayer requests. We got Fred Redman. He's tested positive for the COVID, tested negative for the COVID, and he's had high fever all day today. Is that it? High fever. 104.
Oh, man, that's high, yeah.
Went down to 101.
Yeah, you can imagine as an adult, 104, you feel pretty rough.
Good.
Yeah. All right, we'll be keeping Brother Fred in prayer. How's Ann doing?
Yeah.
She's doing good. Okay. A kind of tag team. She does.
Their family in Austin, Brown Rock, is supposed to move down here, and she was supposed to be watching the grandchild.
Oh.
And they
can't do that. Not with that sickness. Yeah. Okay. All right. Continue to pray for the Uvalde parents. I don't know if some of you have seen the release of that police video. It's awful. All the standing around and kind of thumb. Hands in the pockets and going to get Germex and fist bumping one another while little kids are bleeding out. I feel for those poor police officers. They're going to live with that for the rest of their lives.
And the police running while the shooting's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had enough backup. They had about 20, 30 people inside that building, man. But, you know, part of me kind of feels for them, you know, because they're in trouble if they do use their weapon. They get in trouble, they don't use their weapon. It's just a hard position to be in right now. You know, they use their weapon, oh, you know, it's a racial thing, and da-da-da-da-da. And then, you know, they don't use their weapon, and now they're going to be drugged. It can't win either way. So pray for the parents, pray for the police officers. It's a mess. My soul. We'll just lift that whole situation up. Then something about the memorial was taken away. They had some kind of memorial down there. Somebody removed the memorial. What was that all? I don't know. All right. Very good. All right. Uvalde. Pray for that. Pray for Fred Redman. What are the prayer requests? Prayer requests. Anybody? I got one up here. All right. Penny's got a prayer request. Penny.
Yeah.
Penny.
Just again, I'm just going to ask for you to pray that we have a safe trip up to Austin and back.
When are you leaving?
Tomorrow morning.
All right. Car's got AC?
Yes.
All right. Amen. Y'all remember before we had AC in cars?
Yeah.
Remember them old vinyl seats? And no AC. Remember that, Ronnie? Ronnie, remember vinyl seats and no AC? Woo, man. You talk about slip and slide. Get in an old hot car, you feel like you're sticking to it. It's cooking you, and you're sticking at the same time.
That's when people were tough, man.
Man, I guess we were tougher back then.
Yeah, we were tough, man.
All right. Very good.
How you doing, man?
But when we did have AC, it was that good R12 AC. You know, they don't make that R12 anymore. That blew some cold air. Yeah. You were lucky enough to get R12. Oh, man, it was nice. All right. All right, Penny, safe trip to Austin and back. This is with the, what's it called? American Legion. Yeah. American Legion Auxiliary. What else, what else?
Pray for Ronnie and his feet.
Yes. And any relief, Brother Ronnie? Nothing.
He's having a bad time with that.
Is it more numbness or is it more shooting pain or all of the above?
Okay.
All right, sir. We will lift that up. What else? What else?
Ronnie Holman and
Ronnie
Nancy.
Holman? And Nancy. Ronnie and Nancy. I saw another hand go up over here. Yep. Yes. Amen, amen. Yeah, safe travels. And them people over there are tough.
Yeah.
Them Ugandans. Yes, sir. Okay. What are you doing at Domino's?
Yes, sir.
What are you doing?
Delivery driver.
Okay. All right, man. Very good. What else, what else? In the back, what you got?
Two of them. One for Lori's boss, Glenn, for, I guess, his marital situation and housing. He's having to find somewhere else to live right now, and their son, Nathan.
What's going on with Nathan?
Just because he's in the midst of all that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Have they filed for divorce? What's going on? They're separated? They're just fighting mad. Okay. All right. Well, at least they're still fighting and mad. Are they open to any kind of counsel? Nah. All right. Okay. All right, all right. What else? What else?
And then Sharon Heibarger, pray for relief for mom's leg, knee and back pain.
Mickey, you said you're doing pretty good. What's going on? You falling apart on me?
No.
So it's the knee. It's the back. And it's the elbow. Shoulder. Okay. Knee, back, and shoulder. Amen, amen. And then, Loopy, you had a hand up again?
Yes, for Roxy and Jackie and her husband Chris, for their salvation, the Lord bring them to church.
Roxy, Jackie,
and Chris.
And Chris? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're the parents of some of our Awanas kids.
Okay.
And I've also worked with them at Hobby Lobby.
Okay.
And that God would help that the air condition at Robert's Hobby Lobby get fixed and stay running.
Oh, man.
It's been hot. And they've been having multiple trucks coming in, and he actually threw up his lunch the other day. It was so hot. And so that the Lord would just get that going. And
what Hobby Lobby is he at?
Jones Road.
Oh, my. Jones Road, Hobby Lobby, AC. All right, man. What else? Anything else? All right, Bobby's kids. Okay. All right. In the back.
Becky Woods, my friend Margaret is having to testify in her husband's murder trial. Her son is on trial.
Oh. Oh, man. Becky Woods, her friend, what now?
Her friend Margaret. Yes.
Friend Margaret.
Having to testify in her husband's murder trial. Her son is on trial.
Oh. Man. They charged the son. They charged him. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Hello.
Okay.
Ron Wade. Ron Wade has a request. All right, Ron.
All right. Pray for August 5th, Tomball Night.
Tomball Night.
That the heat won't be so unbearable. And as we're witnessing to people out there that some people will come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. During that time. And also for bringing kids into the school and stuff in Awanas. Amen. And stuff.
Okay. All right. Tomball Night. Amen. August 5th. Not very far off.
Unspoken.
Well, you think they'd move that Tomball Night to like October or something. Do they have something in October?
Oh.
So they can't have it then.
That's a fish fry.
That's a fish fry. Frank, you'd enjoy. Have you ever been to Tomball Night? Yeah, you'd enjoy it. I mean, if you can stand the heat. We're giving away fans. We're giving away fans. We'll give you two. One for each hand. Amen. All right. Is that it? Yeah, brother. What you got there, Brother John? John has a prayer request. John?
Yes, sir. Let's not forget we have a Saturday work day.
Saturday work day.
We have people show up. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, Saturday work day.
And then Sunday we're having the Lord's Supper during
Lord's Supper,
the
AM Sunday
service.
That's right. And then the following Sunday on the 24th we'll have our semi-annual members meeting. Right. So we've got financials to hand out this evening after church. If you'd be so inclined to take one, we'll give you one. But it's kind of one per family, so keep up with it. Don't make it a floor mat in your car. Keep up with it. All right, is that all of them? All right. Okay. Okay, Harold has an abdominal. Okay. They're looking for cancer? Okay. Bone scan and ultrasound, abdominal ultrasound. Okay. We good? All right. Let's pray it up. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you that we have an opportunity to bear one another's burdens and lift up these different prayer requests and praise you for these different praises. We do praise you for the rain, Lord, that you provided last week. Some even got some rain yesterday. And Lord, we're praying that as we go into tomorrow, that the rain they talked about possibly coming our way would certainly come our way, Lord. We need the rain. We need a break from the heat. So Lord, we're praying the heat would break and the rain would come. And Lord, we pray that what the weatherman has forecasted, it would just be a smidge. Lord, you just open the floodgates of heaven and all that slug of moisture over the Gulf would just slide this way. Just come from east to west. Louisiana's had plenty of rain, Lord. Let us have a little taste of it. And, Lord, just send it all over the state. We're thankful that the power grid has held thus far, this heat wave, this summer. We thank you for all those people with ERCOT and all those different energy providers that are working overtime and trying to keep their equipment going and keep people in power and air conditioning. May we not take them for granted. May we thank the Lord for them and what they do out there in that heat so that all of us can stay cool. So, Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, we just praise you for Hannah's testimony and the loss of her husband. We pray, Lord, that sowing of seed would bring great dividends and people come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that death, that drowning would not be in vain. Be with Hannah and her kids and that family as they grieve that loss. Watch over them. Lord, we're thankful that Jeanette's doing well, doing better. We pray you continue to keep your healing hand upon her. Give her balance, Lord. Help her understand her limits. We pray you give her good appetite. Help her eat, drink, all those different things. Lord, we lift up these requests to you tonight. We lift up Brother Fred to you. We pray, Lord, that if he does have the COVID, you get him over it quick. We're praying that his temperature would break, high fever. That, Lord, you just bring healing to him. Pray that Ann would not catch anything. You keep her healthy, Lord. Watch over them. Watch over her. Be with their kids as they move. Make a big move. Watch over them. Lord, we continue to pray for this situation in Uvalde, the loss of these children, these teachers, just the horrific nature of it. Lord, just so many questions. Pray for these police officers, Lord. We pray for their psyche, their emotions, all the investigations that are going on. Lord, we pray that justice would be served, but we pray that grace would be given as well. So, Lord, we just pray over this whole situation and just pray that you help that community and those people through what they're going through. We lift up Penny to you tonight, Lord, and we pray that you give her a safe trip for this American Legion Auxiliary to Austin and back, Lord. Just watch over her. Pray the car goes well, no breakdowns, no problems with the tires, no battery issues, Lord. Just help her get there and back. We lift up Brother Ronnie to you tonight. Vaculic, we pray for his feet. Lord, help him with the numbness, help him with the shooting pain, help him with the discomfort. Help him with just the feeling of what he's going through with this foot issue on both feet. Lord, pray you bring healing, bring relief to Brother Ronnie. Give him a good night tonight. Lift up Ronnie to you tonight, Lord. Ronnie Holman, pray for his cancer. We lift up Nancy. We pray you help her as she serves him, takes care of her husband, Lord. We pray you might deliver him, remove that cancer from him. We lift up the Rescue Hope mission trip, Lord. Coming up here, leaving just a few more days, leaving on Friday. We pray for Maddie and Terry and all of the folks that are going to be assembling there in Uganda, Africa. We pray for open hearts and for salvations, Lord. We pray for safe travel. We pray that just be a great time of ministry and working together as Christian brothers and sisters. Pray that miracles happen physically and miracles happen spiritually, Lord, in the midst of that mission trip. We're thankful for this new job, Lord, with Domino's and delivery driver. Father God, we pray for safety and pray for watch care, this new job, this new situation. We lift up Lori's boss to you tonight, Lord, and his marital woes, marital struggles. We pray for Glenn as he seeks to find a new place to live. We pray for their son as he's in the midst of that marriage that's having great difficulty. Lord, we pray if it be thy will, you put that thing back together. Bring reconciliation to that marriage. We lift up Miss Bicky to you tonight, Lord. We pray for her different aches and pains. And Lord, we pray for her knee, her back, her shoulder. Pray you might touch her and give her rest, give her healing. Remove some of this pain from her. We lift up Roxy and Jackie and Chris and pray for salvation, Lord, that you might bring these folks to a saving knowledge of you. You might show them the church they need to be in for worship. And Lord, you just draw them to your side, draw them to yourself. Lift up Robert's Hobby Lobby, Lord, and this AC issue that they're having and just the sickness that it's causing him and his workers there, his employees. Lord, we pray you might resolve that situation, get that AC worked out. We lift up Bobby's kids to you tonight. We continue to pray for reconciliation in their lives and that there would be peace and a coming back together of the family. We lift up Becky Wood's friend to you, Margaret, in this murder trial for her husband, and it appears that her son has been charged in it. So, Lord, we just pray your wisdom. We pray your guidance for Margaret. We just pray you help her through that situation. As Ron Wade requested, we lift up Tom Ballnight to you, Lord, August 5th. We pray that it will be a time of ministry, a time of witnessing, a time of getting the word out. And Lord, we're praying for a cool night that night. Lord, might it rain that day, that evening. Bring some cool, refreshing showers on August 5th. So, Lord, we're lifting that situation up to you. Lord, many people here tonight, Lord, have an unspoken. And, Lord, as I'm praying, they're voicing that unspoken up to you silently to you, Lord, and giving that over to you. We're thankful, Lord, that you hear us, that you care for us, that you're for us and not against us, that you make intercession for us when we don't really know how to pray for these things. But, Lord, may we rest in the fact that you are in control of these things that we struggle with, these unspoken prayer requests. We give you praise and glory and honor for what you're going to do with them. And then, Lord, we pray for Harold as he gets ready to go for this abdominal ultrasound bone scan. We pray that he'd be cancer-free. That, Lord, we pray you just see him through these tests. And, Lord, you just bring him out on the other side of them. Lord, thank you for those that are in attendance tonight. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we can attempt to start our finish to the book of Revelation, and we just praise you and thank you for all the Bible study we've been able to have over this book. It's taken years with the COVID, but we're bringing it finally to a conclusion here. We praise you and we thank you for that. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. All right, take your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy Inerrant Word of God. Very end of the book, so go to the concordance and go what, left? Concordance and left, or maps and left, you know, you'll be there. Revelation 22. I've preached through the first book of the Bible, and now we're getting ready to get through the last book of the Bible. We've made some gains here. Revelation 22, beginning in verse 6. Those of you with us online, good to have you again. Revelation 22. A 6 through 12, the Word of God reads this. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservant the things which must soon take place. And behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw all these things. When I heard and saw, I fell down to worship the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who's filthy still be filthy. And let the one who's righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I'm coming quickly. And my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, as we mentioned Sunday evening, as we finished up that time of Bible study, we were talking about the amenities, and we were talking about the amenities of the New Jerusalem, what's inside. We talked about the landscape, the Tree of Life. We talked about the River of Life, all that stuff. As we spoke about the amenities, and then we finished up dealing with the residents, that'd be me and you, of the New Jerusalem. Amen? You planning on being there? Amen. New Jerusalem, right? We said that we would turn our attention to these verses here, beginning in verse 6 and going through verse 12. These verses that we seek to begin to cover tonight form the first half of this great conclusion, or ending, if you will, to the book of Revelation. Now, having taken the reader through the amazing sweep of future history all the way into the eternal state, all that is left for John, the apocalyptic writer, is to record its divine ending. So as we think about the ending of the book, as we think about the ending of this great saga that we've been through over so many weeks and so many Bible studies, as we think about all that, where are we in the grand scheme of things as we think about the end of the book of Revelation. Well, by this point, in the apocalypse, all the glorious and gracious purposes that God ordained before the foundation of the world will have been attained. I mean, we deep into it. Number one, the devastating judgments of the tribulation will have been carried out, and their memory will remain only in the torment of the damned. Number two, the Lord Jesus Christ will have returned in blazing glory. His second advent will have already come and gone. He will have returned to earth in blazing glory, executed his enemies, and reigned on earth during that millennial reign for 1,000 years. Number three, all the rebels, both angels and humans, will have been sentenced to their final eternal punishment in the lake of fire. A literal, real place. Number four, the present universe will have been uncreated. They talk about how the universe is expanding and how every year, every 1,000 years, every whatever years, it's expanding at a faster rate. And people that study these things, physicists, astrologers, they believe that space can only expand so fast before space rips. Space ain't ever going to get there. We're going to get to the end of this old thing, and as he spoke it into creation, he's going to speak it out of creation. It's going to come all back together to, I don't know, one point, to whatever he decides, whatever God decides. The present universe will have been uncreated, and the eternal new heaven and the new earth will be created. He'll speak it back in which the King of Kings will be reigning with his Father. Number five, the holy angels and the redeemed of all the ages will be dwelling in eternal bliss with him in the new creation, particularly in heaven's capital city, the New Jerusalem. Now, one of our attenders here mentioned to me that how big the New Jerusalem will be on the surface of the earth. And I spoke to this individual. I said, well, I don't believe the New Jerusalem is going to be on the earth, so to speak. It's going to be between the new heavens and the earth. It's going to be the gate, so to speak, to get between the two. So we talked about how large, it's huge, right? So, new heavens, new earth, right? New Jerusalem in the middle, right? Somehow, some way, right? So, from his throne, number six, from his throne in the center of that majestic city, the brilliant blazing glory of God, talked about it in depth, will radiate through the recreated universe. Number seven, absolute and unchanging holiness will characterize all who dwell in the universal and eternal kingdom of God. As already mentioned, we will constantly praise, worship, and serve Him throughout eternity in an environment of perfect peace, perfect joy, and perfect fulfillment. So, as we think about the end, don't forget about how it all began, right? At the beginning of the book of Revelation, we had this incredible introduction. Let's go back and look at it right quick. Revelation chapter 1, get there, try. Revelation 1. Tell me when you're in Revelation 1. Did you make it? Revelation chapter 1. Word of God reads this. 1:1, going through verse 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show to his bondservants, the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant, John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is what, church? Yeah, near at hand. Here we are. Well, what did that introduction do? The introduction communicated to the reader that the theme of Revelation is the second coming of who? Jesus Christ, that's right. The ending statement to the apocalypse by John reveals what the believer's response is supposed to be to the second coming, right? Do you believe? You're saved? Well, you got a response you need to make. In a series of one right after the other statements, just quick, fast statements, we see some of the different themes highlighted here in verses 6 through 12. Now, these themes relate to the responses that every believer should have to the imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The imminent coming. His imminence. Are you with me so far? I want you to think of these verses here in verses 6, really all the way through verse 21, but we take the first slug of it here, verses 6 through 12. I want you to think of these verses as John's great last declaration. His great last declaration. These verses convey a huge rush of energy, a wild flurry of excited effort to call forth immediate reaction to the vital truth they communicate. He's having a spell here. He's having a spell. I mean, he's wound up, man. I mean, he's telling it. John the Apostle, the writer of the Apocalypse, he's beside himself trying to communicate this ending. Now the text is pregnant with urgency, pressuring every reader to take action based on the truth it presents. Nothing more clearly communicates that sense of urgency than the repetition of the phrase, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." Quickly. Look at verse 7. "Behold, I'm coming quickly." Look at verse 12. "Behold, I'm coming quickly." You jump down to verse 20. "I'm coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Right? The phrase appears three other places in Revelation. In chapter 3, verse 11, it is a promise of blessing, as it is in its three uses in chapter 22. In chapter 2, verse 5, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." In 2:16, on the other hand, the phrase warns of Jesus' coming in judgment. In chapter 3 and 16:15, Jesus compares his coming to the unexpected coming of a thief. But unlike a thief, of course, Jesus will come not to steal and to kill, but to take back what is rightfully his. Right? Since Jesus could rapture his church at any moment, triggering all the end time events, culminating in his return, believers and unbelievers need to be ready. Believers need to be ready to check out. Chink, punching my ticket. And unbelievers need to be ready for judgment. They're not going to believe. They need to be ready for judgment, right? Now, a natural reading of the New Testament. I've been reading it a lot. I've been reading it a lot for a long time. A natural reading of the New Testament yields the truth that to the early church, they believed that Jesus' coming was imminent. They believed 2,000 plus years ago that he could come back for them in their lifetime. For the early church, imminence contained elements both of certainty and uncertainty. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, they were certain that Jesus would one day return. But unlike numerous modern date setters, they were uncertain as to when he would return. He could come back today. He could come back tomorrow. I'm going to be ready either way, right? Not knowing when he might return, they wisely lived, prepared for, and hoping for Jesus to return at any moment. Now, I'm going to close it out tonight talking about a number of New Testament texts that reflect the early church's belief in imminence. Just as a testimony. Just to let the Bible speak. Amen? Now, Paul commended the Corinthian believers for their imminence. In 1 Corinthians 1:7, the Word of God reads, "So that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ." The second coming they were awaiting. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, the Word of God reads, "Therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God." The apostle included the untranslated Aramaic word, Maranatha. Everybody say that with me. Maranatha, right? Maranatha. That word means, "O Lord, come," right? That's what it means. In a letter to the Greek-speaking Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 16:22, it says, "If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed." Maranatha, right? He ends that verse with, "O Lord, come," right? If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. O Lord, come. The word Maranatha had evidently become a familiar byword expressing believers' longing for Christ's imminent return. Now, to the Philippian church, to the Philippians, Paul wrote in Philippians 3:20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul commended the Thessalonians because they, in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 through 10, turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Later in the epistle, Paul expressed his own hope that he, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, might be alive at the Lord's return. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 reads, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep." Now, as with everything, you can get out of balance with this, right? Yes, we are to be prayerfully waiting for the Lord's return. But that doesn't mean we just throw it in neutral and don't take care of the responsibilities that the Lord's given us, right? On the flip side, the Apostle Paul rebuked those believers at Thessalonica who were so preoccupied with the second coming that they were not working. They thought, "Well, you know, the Lord's coming back tomorrow. Just might as well quit and cash it in," right? Right? This is what he said to them. "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to." That's right. "For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life." They were playing a spiritual card. Jesus had come back. But they were living an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. "Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread." Amen? You still with me? Though the Thessalonians drew improper conclusions from the imminence of the second coming, they nonetheless believed in Christ's imminent return. Paul, again, reminded Titus that Christians are to be, in Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen? Man, you turn on the news, you better be looking for your blessed hope, right? You keep up with politics, you better be looking for the blessed hope of the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. You better not put your faith into the world system. You will be led astray. You will be depressed. You will be disappointed. But in the midst of everything going on, if you can hold on to Titus 2:13, you'll make it through. Amen? James encouraged his readers in James 5:7. He says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until he gets the early and late rains." Amen. With me? Still with me? In his first epistle, the Apostle John exhorted his readers in 1 John 2:28. He says, "Now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming." 1 John 3:2 continues, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is." Amen? These passages, more than one, right? More than five. These passages demonstrate what? They demonstrate the early believers, the New Testament Christians, the first century Christians. These passages demonstrate the early believers' anticipation of their Savior's coming again. Well, friend, I got news for you. It's been 2,000 plus years since then. If ever there was a generation that should be looking on the horizon for the Savior to rapture His church and to initiate the tribulation, it ought to be yours. I mean, every day, when your feet hit the ground and you go to brush your teeth or eat your breakfast or look in the mirror or whatever, you ought to be thinking, this could be the day. Am I going to live like it? I mean, this could be the day. What I do today, the Lord might, in fact, rapture me. This could be the day. Read the papers. Look at the world landscape. This could be the day. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can make a run at verses 6 through 12. We introduced it. We covered a little bit of it. We'll finish it up, Lord. Try to next time we get together. Father God, we praise you and love you that you're sovereign, that your word is true. Your word is always true. Lord, your word is eternal. Your word continues on and on and on. So God, we look at this book. We think about these passages. We read these scriptures. And we're compelled. We're compelled to have an imminent attitude when it comes to your second coming. The rapture of your church, of course. The time of tribulation. And then your second coming. But Lord, we know it's coming. So Lord, may we have a hope that transcends all despair. May we have a hope that transcends all pain. May we have a hope that transcends all of our problems, our pains, our woes. May we have a hope that gives us a peace that passes all understanding. May we have a hope that we cannot keep to ourselves, but we must share with somebody else. May we have a hope. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, you're dismissed. Thank you, online folks. We'll see you next time.